coolest way to hear that one song. Sure did help me.
Amen.
Brother Harvey was a blessing. I kid and joke with him a lot, but he helped my heart tonight. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 7 tonight. Anyone else? All right, Luke chapter number 7. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 tonight. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I want to take that text out of verse number 2, where he said, and a certain centurion. And I want to preach on this thought tonight on being a real soldier. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the opportunity once again to be in your house. And God, I do feel like this centurion tonight. I'm not worthy, Lord. But I thank you, God, that you've given me the call to preach. And I pray for that anointing that it takes to make preaching. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me tonight to help your people. I thank you, Lord. My heart has already been blessed tonight. I appreciate the good testimonies that we've heard. I appreciate the song that we heard from our dear sister. And I'm aware, God, that you make no mistakes, and that it's impossible for you to fail. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your presence. You help me to preach, Lord, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, let me say that this man didn't get to his position overnight. Amen. And we read here in the scripture that he was a certain centurion. He was a man of authority. You didn't You didn't just get that position by going along with the flow, but he had been entrusted to be a commander over others. So I see, first of all, that this centurion, this soldier, was a man of great battles. Amen. And let me say, if you're going to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be willing to fight some battles. Amen. We as Christians, when we get saved, we enter into a fight, and it's going to be a fight from here to glory. Amen. There's no backing up. There's no getting out of it. We just need to make up our mind. I don't know about you, but I want to be like that dude that my hand cleaves to the sword, and it won't turn it loose even when the battle's over. Amen. He said in 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 46, he said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven." Amen. He said this in Psalms 144 and verse number 1. "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands the war and my fingers to fight." Paul himself said in 1 Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." I tell you, I ain't got much use for sissies. We got a crowd in our day and time that wouldn't say boo to a bulldog if he was chewing their leg off. Amen. I tell you, we don't need these weak, anemic, wet noodle for a backbone, Casper milk toast, won't say nothing about nothing, Christians in our day and time. We need some people that's got a backbone like a soul log, amen, that's willing to stand up. I read this somewhere. Silence is consent. So when we fail to say something, we are consenting to what is going on. So we need to realize that we are in a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. Now, this fight that we're in takes many different forms. First of all, it is a battle with self. Amen. Every day that we get up, well, we fight. I wish this battle with the flesh was something we could fight one time and be done with it, but it is not. Every day we get up, we're going to have a battle with the flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." Amen. He said, "I beat my body into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself have become a castaway." So every day we're going to have a battle with ourselves. Well, not only that, we're going to have a battle with society. I mean, all you got to do in our day and time is just try to live right. Amen. And people will hate you for it. I can't hardly sit in a restaurant and listen to what's going on around me without saying something. Amen. I had something novel happen to me a couple of weeks ago. I was in LaGrange, Kentucky, eating at a Cracker Barrel, and I had a Trump 2020 t-shirt on. I was minding my own business, ordered my food, and about that time there's a sodomite come over to my table and said something about my t-shirt. And I let him have his say, and when he got done, I said, "The reason you don't like him is because you're a sodomite and a liberal." And when I did, he raised his voice. Well, when he raised his voice, I stood up. Amen. If they're bold enough to say something, I'm bold enough to say something back. Amen. So we got into it. I mean, big time in the Cracker Barrel. Manager came over, he said, "You fellas need to go outside." I said, I'm not going anywhere. I said, I just ordered my food and I'm going to eat. I said, what you need to do is tell this faggot to get out of my face. Amen. And we made a scene in a Cracker Barrel. But that's what they're pushing. It's got to where those that stand for right, our congressmen can't even go out to eat because of that liberal crowd, amen, and the fact that we ain't got enough backbone to stand up to that crowd. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm talking about we are in a battle in our society. Hey, we have lost the war by giving our school systems over to these bunch of liberals, amen, and let them indoctrinate our kids, and we're in a mess. Amen. So there's a battle with society. I don't know about you, but I do believe we got to choose our battles. But I don't want to be afraid to stand up for what is right. Amen. Well, a battle with self, a battle with society. We're going to have a battle with Satan. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 2, I have written unto you, fathers, because you know him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Amen. What does the Bible tell us to do? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I don't mean he's going away permanently, but he will flee. We can, amen. Our problem is we don't do what it says right after that. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, amen. We are so attached to what's going on down here, hey, that we don't even realize. I always get tickled when I go to Amish country. They believe the devil, they believe the telephone is of the devil. And they won't let him in the house. But they got these little booths that sit in their front yard with a phone in it. I don't know about you, but if I'm not going to let him in the house, I sure ain't going to let him in the yard. Amen. I'm going to stay as far away from it. Do you understand? It's funny, but I'm saying that we need to realize we don't need to give him any place at all. If you give him an inch, he will take a mile, friend. If you allow him to have any place in your life at all, if you compromise a little bit, that's all it takes. And the next time it'll be easier for you to go a little further and a little further. And before you ever intended, you've gone farther than you ever imagined that you could or would. Well, he was a man of great battles. But then I see that he was a man of great building. In verse number 5, it says, for he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Amen. So we ought to want to leave something behind us when we pass off the scene. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in verse 10. According as the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Peter 2, 5, ye also as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm glad somebody laid a foundation ahead of me and somebody built on that foundation. Amen. Hey, you and I, we need to, that's what we need to do for these young people. We need to leave them some kind of a foundation to build their life upon. By the way, if you don't start it with Jesus Christ, It's all vain anyway. It's not going to amount to anything. You have to have the right foundation. Before you can truly build something, you have to start with the right foundation. People say, well, what difference does it make? If you start over here in this corner, and by the time you get over here to this corner, it's a quarter of an inch out. You say, well, that's not much. No, it's not much. But by the time you get up to the top, it's a whole bunch. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We need to have the right foundation. Amen. Not only the right foundation, but we need to be fitly framed together. We're trying to do something that is not our job. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what are we supposed to do? We're to do what God has called us to do. Now, there are some things that we know to be the will of God for every Christian. We're to read our Bible. Amen. We're to pray. Amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You don't have to pray about that. Hey, we're to witness. Amen. Hey, he's given us the job of reconciliation. Amen. So we ought to be willing. And by the way, the building, you know, we don't always get to see the full results of that. But I'm glad Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Every once in a while, God will let you reap what somebody else has sown. Amen. And in doing so, the building continues to come together. And one of these days, the last nail's going to be driven and we're going to be out of here. Amen. Well, I see that there has to be the fitly framed. And then there comes a point in time when there's a finished work. Now, I believe as Christians, the work that he is doing in us is never going to get finished until we leave here. Amen. But I want to make sure that I do everything, the work that he assigns through us. I don't want to leave anything left undone that he wants me to do. I remember when I was in high school, my dad went out of town and he gave me a list of things to do before he got back. And needless to say, I did what most teenagers do. I procrastinated. I played ball with my friends and rode bike. And so it comes down to the point where I've got all this stuff to do and I've only got this much time left. And there's no way that I could get done what I was supposed to have to do. And sure enough, when he got home, it was not done. After we had a come to Jesus meeting, it did get done. Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? Hey, I don't want to have left anything undone. Hey, the Bible tells us in such an hour as you think not, when we least expect it, he's going to return. Well, then there's got to be some faithful upkeep. One of my friends asked me, he said, why do you go to church so much? I said, it takes a lot of preaching to keep me right. That's why God called me to evangelism. Amen. I need more than 3 days a week. Amen. But there's got to be, if you've got a house, you know, I've got a honey-do list that is never going to get caught up. Amen. And I'm saying there's upkeep that goes with on. You got to mow the grass. I'm into low maintenance, brick and vinyl. Amen. I hate to paint. Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? There's got to be some faithful upkeep. And if you ever let it get too far behind, it's almost overwhelming. And that's why a lot of people get out of church. They will not upkeep their Christian life, and they get so far behind that they don't think they can ever make it right with God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they're worried about what we'll think about them. Amen. Well, if you're any kind of a Christian at all, you'll rejoice if they'll come back to church. Well, I see a third thing about this man. I see that he was a man of a great burden. It said there in verse number 2, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. He was a man with a great burden. Would to God that we would get under our burden once again. I think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. He said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Basically, what Paul is saying is I would gladly go to hell if God would save my people. Let me just ask, get down where we live at. When's the last time you shed a tear over somebody in your family that's lost? Huh? Now, I know we can't stay under that great strain of a burden all the time. It'd kill you. But I believe we can have a burden that does not leave us, but is more heavy upon us at some times than it is others. I believe we can go 3 or 4 days missing meals and seeking God's face. Do you understand? He had a great burden. Hey, he wasn't even related to him. He was his servant. But he got under a great burden for him. Hey, and you and I have lost family and lost friends, amen, that are going to die and go to hell unless we get under a burden for them. The Bible says in Acts 16, verse 9, said a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. Said there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Hey, this centurion had a burden for a man. You and I ought to have a burden for all men. But if you can't get under a burden for all men, you ought to be able to think of somebody specifically that you can get under a burden for. Hey, we ought to beseech the Lord. I started praying that God would put people in the lives of this particular person that I know that they weren't going to hear it from me, but I started praying that God would put people in their lives. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how God brought them into contact with people to share the gospel with them, amen, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we and I will get under a burden, God will do that. Amen. Well, he got only not only under a burden for a man, but he got under a burden for a message. He told him, said he had a message, said, go tell the Lord. I tell you what we've grown accustomed to. And I'm just saying, I've been guilty of it, and I'm sure these other preachers have. I'm guilty of having a sermon, but not having a message. And we don't need just sermons. We need messages. We need to get so in touch with God that He lays something so, such a burden upon our heart that we know that it is the Lord. I thought about what Brother Donnie was saying tonight. He said, I wasn't going to say nothing else. I thought about the prophet where he said, I wasn't going to say nothing else. He said, but it was as a fire shut up in my bone. Hey, and that's the way it ought to be in us. You and I have the good news to give to the world. Hey, and you and I ought not be able to forbear, but it ought to be like a fire shut up in our bosom, wanting to get out. Amen. Brother James, when we stand and preach, it ought to be something in us that we can't hold it back. We can't hold it in. Preach was so upon me when God first called me. I was preaching in the prisons. I was preaching in the nursing home. Anywhere God opened the opportunity, hey, I was going to preach. Not only that, if there was a meeting within 100 miles of where I lived, I was going to that. You understand, there was a fire in my soul. Hey, when are we going to get back under a burden? When are we going to lay before God? I remember how it was when I first started preaching. God, if you don't, you know I've got to preach. God, if you don't give me something to say. God, if you don't help me. Now we've got to where we can do it, Brother Rick, without the Lord. He had a burden for a ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on to say, now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Hey, you and I have, and I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care if you're a carpenter or a truck driver or a computer person, whatever you do for a living. If you're saved, that is not your job. That's how you provide for your family. But your job is to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me give you one last thing. Talking about being a real soldier. He was a man of great battles. He was a man of great building. He was a man with a great burden. But then he was a man of great beseeching. There in verse number 3, said when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. The Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter number 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word beseech, to me it has, I believe you can come to somebody and say, come on, go with me. And that's asking. But there's a big difference between asking and beseeching. Beseeching, I get in my mind, is you're going with me whether you like it or not. It's kind of like that Bible verse that says that we're to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We had a man in our church in Indiana named Walt Wagers, and he was driving down the road. This is back in the late 70s, early 80s. He picked this guy up, started talking to him about the Lord. And that guy said, look, man, I ain't interested. He said, all I want's a ride. So Walt pulled his Cadillac over the side of the road and said, "Get out." The guy got out. He got out on the other side with his 45, walked around the car. He said, "You ain't no good to God. You ain't no good to your family. You want to go to hell? I'm going to send you there." That guy said, "Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute." He got saved. What would you have done? No, really, the guy did get saved. He's a preacher. But you know what he was doing? He was compelling him to come in. Amen. Now, we're laughing, but I believe this beseeching thing.
Yes, sir. Yes.
When we get a hold of God and say, "Lord, I'm not going to let you go till I hear from heaven. Till you hear and answer my prayer, I'm not going to turn you loose." Hey, I see this about this matter of beseeching. First of all, there has to be humility. Look here in verse number 6. Jesus went with them, and he was now not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." This TBN crowd wants to order God around. God's not going to hear you doing that kind of thing. But if we in humility come to the Lord, it says this in Proverbs 22:4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Paul said in Acts 20:19, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." And then he goes on to say, "Testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." So if we will humble ourselves as the centurion did, he said, "He giveth more grace, wherefore God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble." Well, not only do we see his humility, but we see his recognition in verse number 8. He tells him, said, "Lord, you don't have to come." Said, "All you got to do is say the word." He said, "I'm a man under authority." He said, "Just speak the word." Hey, when you and I get to the point where we realize who God really is, we humble ourselves. We realize who he is. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Hey, we're not victims, we're victors. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Amen. Well,
listen.
Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then lastly, we see his faith in verse number 9. The Lord said, "I've not found so great faith, not in all Israel." What does the Bible say? I'm talking about if we're going to win, if we're going to win great battles and do great building and have a great burden, amen, we're going to have some faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know about you, but I want to be a real soldier. I want to distinguish myself from others. Do you understand? There's a reason we give out Purple Hearts and Bronze Stars and Congressional Medals of Honor. That's for those who have distinguished themselves. And I believe it's the same with us. The Bible teaches that we're going to receive crowns, amen, to cast at His feet. And I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that You'd have Your will and Your way in the furtherance of the service. We'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, preacher.